reviewing the Watchtower Study Edition for the week of April 22nd through 28th. This is the JW Review. Hello and welcome to the JW Review. My name is Mike Felker and this is the weekly podcast where we go over next week's Watchtower Study Edition and review it from a biblical perspective. I am not an ex-Jehovah's Witness and never have been associated with the Jehovah's Witnesses, at least not in a formal fashion ever. So I am just a guy who really enjoys to do these reviews and to help you, the listener, especially those of you who are still attending their Kingdom Hall meetings and just wanting to hear a different perspective on these articles before you go into your meeting. And before I go into the article, what I want to ask is for your help on an issue related to the February Watchtower Study Edition. And this is really regards to the dismissing of Judas at the Lord's Supper. So I was hesitant to really get into this, but there was someone who was commenting on the video where I reviewed this, and they're wanting to get my perspective on it. So I haven't had a chance to dig into it, so I wanted to ask any of you if you had any insights on this. And so if you go to the January Watchtower Study Edition on page 22, and this is on paragraph 8, it reads, "The simple meal which he introduced after dismissing Judas would remind those who would become his anointed followers of the benefits of Jesus' shed blood and of the sharing in the new covenant." So the question is, was Jesus already dismissed, and had he left the room before Jesus actually introduced the meal and said, "Do this in remembrance of me"? When Jesus said that, had Judas already left the room? If you look at other areas where the Watchtower has discussed this, and I just did a search in the Watchtower Library for dismiss asterisk Judas, you're going to see a number of places to where this isn't the first time the Watchtower has said this. They've said this actually a number of times. And so, again, I haven't had time to dig into this, but I want to see if you have any insights. And the reason I'm even asking this is because if you look at the biblical accounts in the Gospels to where Jesus did dismiss Judas, it just kind of raises some questions. And it's really important here to compare Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and put all the pieces together to see exactly when Jesus dismissed Judas. And when he dismissed Judas, had Judas already left before Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me"? So if you start out in Matthew 26:19, it says, "The disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. Now when evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12 disciples. As they were eating, he said, 'Truly I say to you that one of you will betray me.' Being deeply grieved, they each one began to say to him, 'Surely not I, Lord.' And he answered, 'He who dipped his hand with me in the bowl is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man is to go, just as it is written of him. But woe to that man whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born.' And Judas, who was betraying him, said, 'Surely it is not I, Rabbi.' Jesus said to him, 'You have said it yourself.' And while they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And when he had taken the cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins.'" So that's the Matthew account. And so you can clearly see that Jesus did go to Judas, and he dismissed him, or he told Judas that, you know, you're going to betray me, right? So he said that, and then he went on to institute the Lord's evening meal. But in this account, it doesn't actually say one way or another if Judas was actually still physically present. So let's go over to the Mark account, and this is Mark 14:16. "The disciples went out and came to the city and found it just as he has told them, and they prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he came with the 12, and they were reclining at the table and eating. Jesus said, "Truly I say to you that one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." That's interesting. They began to be grieved and to say to him one by one, "Surely not I." And he said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who dips with me in the bowl. For the Son of Man is to go just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born." And while they're eating, he took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take it, this is my body." And when he had taken the cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." So that's the end of that account as far as where Judas is concerned. And so just a quick observation, it's very similar to Matthew, right? To where Jesus did dismiss Judas, but it's still somewhat questionable as to whether Judas was still present or he had left before Jesus started to talk about, "This is my body and the blood of the new covenant." It's just not clear whether Judas was still there. And so I don't think you can conclusively say from Matthew or Mark that Judas had left the room. If anything, it says here clearly that Judas did get something, because Jesus said, I'm giving, he who dips with me in this bowl," which really implies that Judas did partake. So that much is clear from Matthew and Mark. Just what's not clear is how long Judas actually stayed. So let's go over to the Luke account, which I think will provide some more clarity. "And they left and found everything just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. When the hour had come, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, 'I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.' And when he had taken the cup and given thanks, he said, 'Take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes.' And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, he took the cup, and after they had eaten, saying, 'This cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of the one betraying me is with mine on the table. For indeed, the Son of Man is going as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed.' And they began to discuss amongst themselves which one of them it might be who was going to do this thing. And there arose also a dispute among them as to which one of them was regarded to be the greatest. And he said to them, 'The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who have authority over them are called benefactors.'" So I'm going to stop there. And so what we want to ask here is, did Jesus dismiss Judas before or after instituting the Lord's evening meal? Well, it's interesting. In verse 23, it says the disciples began to discuss amongst themselves which one of them it might be who was going to do that, right? And so it sounds like Judas was physically still present, because Judas had not left the room. Now, if you go to the Matthew account and the Mark account, it could be just as a possibility that Jesus did say what he said to Judas before he instituted the meal, but the disciples were just really confused. And so they weren't really sure what Jesus meant by betrayal, and it just wasn't overly clear to them at that point. So it's possible that Jesus did say, "It's the one who dips in the bowl with me. That's the one who's going to betray me." And then Jesus went on to talk about the new covenant in my blood. "Do this in remembrance of me." And then the disciples began to discuss amongst themselves which one of them it might be who's going to do this thing. And then it could be that after that, Judas left the room. So what I'm trying to get out of all of this, and why I'm spending all this time reading these accounts, is why is the Watchtower so emphatic and so declarative about the fact that Jesus dismissed Judas from the room before he instituted the Lord's evening meal? why is the Watchtower so dogmatic about that? My guess is because the supper is only for the anointed class, right? And so Jesus wouldn't be in the anointed class because obviously he betrayed Jesus. So that's the only thing that I can really think of. And so I'm going to do some more digging into this, but I would really like to see if any of you have any strong opinions on this, or maybe you have researched this, because with the Gospels, if you read all the accounts together from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and even John, a lot of harmony needs to take place. You got to really put some pieces together because you have different authors writing in different times using different sources. And so it's expected that the accounts are going to be different. So this is not just a Jehovah's Witness issue. This is an issue for anyone who wants to view the Gospels as harmonious rather than contradictory. So I think it's really important for Christians in general to work these things out. So the question is, did Jesus definitely dismiss Judas and have him leave the room before he instituted the Lord's evening meal? And is there a way that Christians can be explicit about that? So share with me your thoughts in the comments, and maybe I'll do a video or write an article on this and see if it's something really worth digging into. So I'm going to stop there with that, and let's go back to our review for next week. And the reason I even went into that synoptic issue with the Lord's evening meal is because this week's Watchtower article doesn't have a whole lot to say that I really wanted to make an issue out of. I just had one paragraph I wanted to go over. So the title of the article is Why Express Appreciation? And they quote here Colossians 3:15, which says, "Show yourselves thankful." Now, are most Jehovah's Witnesses going to read that verse in its entirety and read the context of that verse? Well, they're probably not going to, right? They're probably just going to see that and say, oh, this article is about thankfulness. And then the article goes on to talk about that. So let's go on to skip over to paragraph 17, and this paragraph also says read Colossians 3:15, and I'm glad it does, but let's read the paragraph first. "To our generous God, Jehovah has given us an abundance of spiritual food. For example, we receive helpful instruction through our meetings, our magazines, and our websites. Have you ever heard a talk, read an article, or watched a broadcast and thought, that is just what I needed? How can we show our appreciation to Jehovah? One way is by regularly thanking Him in our prayers for these good gifts." Now, there's nothing wrong with thanking Jehovah for the people in your life. Lives who have taught you the scriptures, right? That's great. God puts those people in our lives. Notice here that they don't actually thank God for the scriptures. So they mention the meetings, the magazines, and the websites, all of which are produced by the faithful and discreet slave. And so, of course, Jehovah's Witnesses are going to want to thank Jehovah for the faithful and discreet slave. But why aren't the scriptures mentioned here? God's very word. So you're thanking God for this, but you're not actually thanking God for His word. But it says here, let's just put that aside for a second. It says here, read Colossians 3:15. So let's do that. "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful." Do you notice what's missing here and what the Watchtower says in this whole paragraph? Jesus is missing. It talks about here giving our appreciation to Jehovah, our generous God, but nothing about thanking Jesus for what He has done. In the very text they quote, says that, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." What does it mean for Christ to rule in your heart? I think if Christ is really ruling in your heart, then what you say and what you do is going to reflect that. So does this whole article sound like it's written by someone or a group of men who has Christ ruling in their heart? Because if Christ was the center of their attention, you would see Christ all over the place, and especially in paragraph 17, it would read like this: "To our generous Jesus Christ, our Savior, Jesus Christ has given us an abundance of spiritual food. For example, we receive helpful instruction through our meetings, our magazines, and our websites, and the scriptures. Let's add that. Have you ever heard a talk, read an article, or watched a broadcast, or read a scripture, and thought, that is just what I needed? How can we show our appreciation to Jesus Christ? One way is by regularly thanking Him, thanking Jesus Christ in our prayers for these good gifts. Now, for someone who has Christ ruling in their hearts, that's what you would expect to be said in a paragraph like this, but it doesn't. They leave Christ out. And if that weren't enough, let's just go ahead and read some more the context of Colossians 3:15. Let's go to 3:16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing thankfulness in your hearts to God. Now, let's focus in on this. Let the word of Christ richly dwell in you. So, let me ask this again in a different way. Does this article or this paragraph sound like someone who is letting the words of Christ richly dwell within them? I don't think so, because Christ is not even mentioned in this paragraph. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. I'm hesitantly saying this, but it sounds like the Watchtower is just not doing this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, they would say they are, but it's not reflecting that. Put your money where your mouth is. If you're doing everything, including writing these articles, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting the word of Christ richly dwelling within you, and letting the peace of Christ ruling in your hearts, then show that. Reflect it. Your article should be just permeated and saturated with thankfulness and everything that you can say about Jesus Christ and exalting Him, because He is the center of attention in the scriptures. So it's really a shame that the Watchtower talks about all this thankfulness to God and Jehovah, and even asks you to read a passage that just is all about Christ. And it's, of course, about God too, but you cannot leave Christ out of it. And we see that just time and time again with the Watchtower. And so I do hope that if you're sitting there in your Kingdom Hall meetings, listening to these talks, just ask yourself, is this person on the podium, or all these people who are commenting, are they the kind of people who are showing that Christ is ruling in their hearts and the Word of Christ is richly dwelling within them? Does it sound like you're in an organization that reflects that? So that's all I have for today. So again, please leave your comments and if you have any questions about the dismissing of Judas before the Lord's evening meal. If you have any thoughts on that, please leave them. I'd be more than happy to hear from you. So until next time, thank you for listening and have a great Easter weekend. For more information about Jehovah's Witnesses and other topics, please visit michaeljfelker.com. There you can also reach me directly to submit questions or comments to be covered on the JW Review. To subscribe to this podcast, please go to iTunes and search for the JW Review.